Man, we had the McLemore family with us for dinner today and had a great time with them. And folks are a blessing. They're just regular people like everybody else. Struggle to do what God has called them to do in evangelism and singing. I wanted to preach this morning, but God just didn't give me peace. I was agonizing about that. And I don't know, somebody need to hear the message that he preached this morning. I hope it touched their hearts, but turn with me tonight into 2 Samuel chapter 20. And while you're turning, I just want to tell everybody, folks have been asking me, did I have a good time on the trip and how I liked the trip, and had a great time. Got to see some interesting things. Got to find out another interesting story that began up here at Welsh Track Baptist Church. I tell you about that little church in its day. I had a great ministry. One of the men that got saved there by the name of David Jones became a preacher, well-known preacher in his day, preached in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and finished his ministry at the Baptist. I like the name of his church. I'm like Brother Jeff Faggart. I like the name of this church, the Baptist Church at the Great Valley. It's just about two miles outside of Valley Forge. But it's the Baptist Church at the Great Valley. I like that. And pretty good. But David Jones became not only a well-known preacher, but a fiery advocate of Baptist doctrine, wrote a book that the Baptist History Preservation Society has a copy of that was printed by Benjamin Franklin, and they have an original copy that was printed by Benjamin Franklin. He said we paid dear for it because it was printed by Benjamin Franklin. A defending Baptist doctrine and Baptist faith through those who would mock and make light of what we stand for. And he's known greatly for that book, but he's also known as being the fighting preacher. And I hope, if it ever came to it, that I could leave a legacy just like he left behind him. During the American Revolution, he served under a general they called Mad Anthony Wayne. And they needed to get a message back to Philadelphia to Benjamin Franklin and didn't have a courier that was able to carry the message, and Jones volunteered for the job. And when General Wayne pressed upon him the necessity of getting this back to Philadelphia and that it not fall into the enemy hands, Jones assured him that it would happen. And Jones wasn't aware of this, but General Wayne recorded in his letter, in his correspondence to Benjamin Franklin, that he had entrusted this message to come to him by David Jones, who had volunteered to do it, the chaplain of their forces there. And he had assured him that he would blow the brains out of anybody that tried to take the letter from him. Amen. That's why they called him the fighting preacher. He was standing for religious liberty. He was fighting for not only our independence, but for what that independence would mean to the Baptists. People don't understand, and I don't think we really grasp, we always talk about America was founded on religious freedom. When those who left England and left Europe coming here seeking religious freedom, they didn't offer religious freedom to anyone but their own kind. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, when they landed in Plymouth and founded the colony there, unless you worship like they did, you were fined, imprisoned, Obadiah Holmes was beaten for his faith and for refusing to recant and refusing to pay the fine that they levied upon him. They would seize your property and everything simply because you didn't worship the way that they said. It was the Baptists in America that fought. It was the Baptists in America that suffered. It was the Baptists that pushed for religious freedoms. That's what these tours are about. That's what they helped to do. And I was encouraged this time again as I went and just seeing how faithful some were, that they were willing to stand, that they were willing to do what was necessary to ensure that they were able to continue to worship. And then you see the great lengths and the great distances people traveled just to be able to get to a place to worship together. Down in South Jersey, over along the Cohansey River, as the church was started on one side of the river, people would go over there to worship. But when the church moved to the other side of the river, people still had to cross the river every Sunday, and they had to row across the river and then walk a mile to get to church. People won't come to church today when all they got to do is get in the car, turn the heater or the air conditioning on, turn the headlights on if it's dark, and drive there. Amen. We have really slipped. Amen. We have really lost sight of what's very important. But enough about Baptist history. I enjoyed it, and I did have a good time. I'd encourage you, if you're able to go, Brother Adam and Bryson were able to join us at the Baptist Church at the Great Valley there on Friday and spend some time and seeing what we did and what we learned. It was interesting, wasn't it? And just to hear the men singing, as you get a group of men, you heard them here the other day, when you get people who want to sing because they know who they're singing about and they know what they're singing about and they're not ashamed to sing about it, it makes a difference. We've lost that in our Baptist churches. We've got to the point where we want to be entertained. We want somebody else to do our singing for us instead of us singing together. That's one of the things that Brother Jeff really stresses. That's one of his burdens for putting the songbook together, this excellent book. And they've went back and researched every one of these songs to ensure that the wording that of the songs that are in these books are as they were originally written, not as they've been changed. And we was talking to the McLemores about that today after lunch, and they said, yeah, that's funny. He said, you can go to one church and they sing a hymn that you know and the words are different because we're losing what was original, you know, in translations and what people thought it said and people thought it meant has been changed. So we see a lot of things that are coming out of this. But in 2 Samuel chapter 20, here's an awesome, awesome Mother's Day message. Amen. Are you going to throw the head over the wall? Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 20, we'll begin in verse number 14. Bible says, and he went through, and they're talking about Sheba here, and he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and unto Beth Maacah and all the Beerites and they that were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him and Abel of Beer Maacah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old times, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I would swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri, by name hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. And the woman went out, or the women went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. And yes, how can this be a Mother's Day sermon in verse 19? The woman says, I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Amen. So there's your mother for a Mother's Day service. But I want to see something. Her wisdom brought about salvation. Her wisdom made a difference. Her wisdom made a change. But they had to go a step beyond what anybody else was willing to go or what anybody else would even think about. And Joab said, look, we're after one person. We're after Sheba. And if we have him, we'll be fine. And she didn't say, well, we're going to send him out. Look at what she said. She said, his head will be over the wall in just a minute. You hold on here a minute. You hang tight. Amen. But I want to preach about this tonight. Just how far would you go? How far would you go as a mother? How far would you go as a father? How far would you go as a child, a sister, or a brother for the salvation of the souls of your family, of your friends, and of your city, of your country, of those around you? How far would you go? There's a problem here, and it's a bad problem. You see, in verses 14 and 15, it tells us that the city is besieged because of one man, because of somebody who had sinned, somebody who had brought sin into the city. The rest of the people probably didn't even know about it. Amen. They might not have been aware of what had happened, how he had lifted his hand against David, how he had sinned against the king. He came and he brought sin. And you know, that's the way sin works, and that's the way sin is. Most people in this world today don't even realize that they're sinners. Amen. And the problem, every problem that we face and every problem that we deal with in the world is a direct result of sin. Amen? Everything. I don't care if you're a child of God and you sin, you'll have problems. Amen? You might lose your peace. The whole world might not crash down around you, but maybe you'll lose your peace. You'll lose your sleep. You'll lose the contentment that you knew. It'll cause you problems. Amen. If you're here and or you know people who are in the world and they're just dwelling and dealing in sin, and you see the effects that sin is having on them, how it's ravaging their lives, it's tearing them down, and it's all because of sin. Amen. It's all because of sin. There's sin in the city. We look in our world, we look in our country, and we see sin. And you know, as I was a child, I always wondered, when the Antichrist comes, how's one man going to be able to control everybody in the whole world? And then, you know, we see now that it's not impossible. With a computer, they know where everybody is. With electronics, they can track you down if they want to, like you won't believe. And they already know most of what's going on in your house because that cell phone, what's it, Alexa or somebody else is telling them, hey, man, they already know everything that you're doing. I believe your TVs and everything else are connected somehow. They've proven it in different appliances and things. But we wonder, well, that's fine. mind. They can know where everybody's at, but how are they going to control everybody? And as we was on this trip, we got to meet Brother Brad Pratt, he's the young man I was telling you about this morning from India, a missionary that has went back to India. He's been there for 18 years working in India. His primary goal, he's a church planner in India, but he likes to work with young people in India. He likes to reach out to them. But he said the big problem that they have in India is the same problem that we have here. It's drug addiction. It's opioids that are destroying the people there by the droves. And it's just unbelievable what they're doing. And you know, how can somebody control somebody? You get them addicted. Amen? We think sin, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. We can overcome it. We can beat it. We can get past it. But let me tell you something. There's sin in this world. And there's people that are sinning because they're addicted to things and they can't shake that addiction. Their bodies are physically addicted and they can't shake it. How do you think they get young women and young men to prostitute themselves on the street that come from good families? Would never have done that. They get them addicted. And they'll do anything. They'll do anything to get them drugs. Sin is a problem. Sin is where it all lies. And that's why they do the things they do. It's because of sin. Why do we see the problems that we see everywhere in this world? It's a sin problem. And it don't take a whole lot of sin to cause a problem. Over in Galatians 5:9, the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians, you know, he said, I can't believe you're so soon moved from the things that you knew. You're so soon moved from the truth. And now you're starting to let false doctrine invade your lives. He said, I can't believe it. And it don't take a whole lot of false doctrine to change things. Amen. And he tells them, he said, a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. The whole city was in peril. Amen. Because of one man. Because of Sheba. They were ready to tear the walls down. Now, I want you to understand something. That when they besieged the city, if they had to come and break your walls down and break in, generally, everybody in the city died. That's just what sin has done in this world. That's just what sin is doing in our families. That's just what sin is doing in our churches. Amen. And let's break it down and let's make it more personal. That's what sin is doing in my family. Amen. That's what sin is doing in your family. That's what sin is doing right here at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. There is a problem. And it's a big problem. Even though it might seem small, little things that are overlooked, little things that are taken for granted, little things that are considered no big deal. Sheba was just one man in a whole city, but yet the whole city stood in peril because of one man. But there was a problem, but there was a prayer. There was a plea made. The Bible said that this woman was a wise woman. Amen. She was smart enough to know that the answer to the problem was to seek what was going to bring relief. And the only way to find the relief that you need, the only way to get the breakthrough that you're looking for is to go back to the source of judgment, the source of the pending doom that's coming. Why is it coming? So she goes and she calls on the Joab. Here, say, I pray unto you. Are you Joab? Can you hear me? Joab is the king's representative. Joab is David's general. He's the one that leads the army. He's the head of it all. Even though there was a little bit of a deal that took place just before this, and he killed somebody who had delayed in doing what the king had told him to do. And Joab is now under David, the supreme commander of the whole army. And now he's here on the king's bidding. He's here to do the king's work. And she's crying out. And she's saying, "Here I pray you. Hear what I got to say. Why will you destroy the innocent with the guilty?" What is the problem here? You know, the problem in America is we forgot the power of prayer, the power of going unto God, the power of seeking His will, the power of getting in the book and finding out what it is that He wants us to do. What it is that's going to make a change and make a difference. You know, everybody else in that city is no doubt trying to figure out how are we going to defend it. What have we got to do to stand against this? How are we going to escape all this? But there was one woman that was smart enough, wise enough, the Bible said, to go and make a plea. I don't know what everybody else thought when she climbed up on the wall and started calling out to Joab. Started calling out to the general to find out why this was happening. I tell you, if more God's people would get on their knees. Amen. Amen. If more of God's people would make a plea before God and find out what it's going to take, what is needed in their lives. You know, we don't have to worry about anybody else. She wasn't worried about any other city. She wasn't worried about any other people. She was worried about her family. She was worried about her friends. She was worried about her city. Amen. She wasn't worried about what was going on in Jerusalem. This is just immediately after all the uprising that took place when Absalom rebelled against his father. And civil war broke out there within Judah because one bunch had followed Absalom, one bunch had followed his father David, and now Absalom was dead. And as David is coming back, Sheba says, this all started over the silliest thing in the world. You know why he rebelled? Very simple. Because Judah got to escort David across the river with part of the rest of Israel. And Sheba and the men of Israel, of the 10 tribes, they got upset because they didn't have a bigger part. They got upset because they wasn't ones that escorted David. They wasn't the ones that got to be seen with the king. When jealousy rears its ugly head, it can cause division. But that's where this all stemmed from. That's where it all started. But now she's pleading, she's praying, she's wanting to know, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? When was the last time you got on your knees and you asked God, "God, what's it going to take to make a difference in my life? God, what's it going to take for my life to make a difference in my children's lives? God, what's it going to take for my family's life to make a difference in the lives of the community in which we live? God, what's it going to take for our church to make a difference on the corner of this road right here at Charlestown as people pass by? What's it going to take for us to make a difference, God? What is it that's needed? What is it that we got to do?" People might think you're crazy. Man, Friday, Thursday night, we had a day in Philly on Thursday. And Thursday night is where we're meeting the bus at 9 o'clock to get ready to head back to the motel. We had a place to meet there, and right in downtown Philly, we was right on Market Street. And we were sitting, and we knew it had to be one of our bunch because nobody else in the world is going to be singing hymns going through the streets of Philadelphia. And we heard a bunch of singing afar off, and we thought they were down in the subway. And Brother Jeff and a few of us were sitting around. Brother Jeff says, "Hey, that sounds like some of ours. Sounds like they need help. Let's go." And we went, and we couldn't hear them in the subway. And pretty soon we seen a bunch walking down Market Street all the way on the other side of Market Street. And Brother Jeff says, Let's sing over to them, what can wash away your sins? And wait for them to answer us. Amen. Now, Market Street's a pretty busy street, even at 9 o'clock at night in Philadelphia. So there's about 15 of us on one side of the street, and we're walking, and they kind of haven't really paid much attention to us yet. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden we say, what can wash away my sin? And they turn around and seen us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We began to singing out across Market Street, and people started stopping and looking. Cars would slow down coming by, and people were taking pictures. Look at this bunch of nuts up here shouting at each other across the street. What in the world is going on? But I tell you what, it made an impact. There were some girls that were standing there, and they didn't move. They stayed on the corner because they wanted to wait. We sang about four or five hymns like that across the street to one another, and they stayed. They didn't leave. And we got over there and we found out. Now, there's two of the men that are in that group that have wives that are from Russia. One of the guys from Oregon that came in, one of the older gentlemen, his wife was from Russia. One of the young men that's out of North Carolina, his wife is from Russia. And the young lady said, I'm the choir leader in our church. It's a Ukrainian church, and I'm the choir leader. I have never heard some of these songs that you're singing, she said, but it was so beautiful. And then Brother Baron Rodriguez, he got to witnessing to him, and he got to telling them about the assurance, asking them, are you sure that if you die, that these other girls that are with her, that you're going to heaven? And their answer was, I hope so. And he got to telling them his testimony, how in prison, he in that tower there, God got a hold of his heart, and he realized there wasn't nobody else around him. There wasn't no preachers around, there wasn't no guards around, there wasn't no other cellmates around, but somebody had told him about Jesus, and Jesus began to deal with his heart. Somewhere, somebody was praying for Brother Barron, and he got a hold of this thing because the Holy Spirit of God began to dealing with him, and he got down and he asked Jesus into his heart. He said, my life hasn't been the same since. I remember when we visited the church up near where he was in prison, and him pointing over there, he said, see that building right over there? He said, that's where I was in prison. But praise God, Jesus set him free.
Amen.
I told them girls, I said, eternity, is it no place to be a hope so? It needs to be a no so. Oh man, what a great time we had. All because we have a burden. We have a burden for our families, our friends. We have a burden for our churches. We have a burden for our country. Not afraid to see what Jesus would have us to do. Not afraid to go out of our comfort zone and run up and down the streets in the big city, and everybody maybe think you're crazy or look at that bunch of nuts singing about Jesus. I tell you what, we need to quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking. That old woman, when she got up on that wall, mother in Israel, she wasn't worried about it, what everybody else was thinking. Her concern was for her family, her friends, and her community. Amen. And we need to go out into this world and we need to make an impact, and we need to make a difference. We can't just hide behind the walls of this church and make a difference out there. How far are you willing to go? How far would you go to tell somebody about Jesus? But when she spoke to Joab and she made her plea, a plan come together. Amen. Aren't you glad that God's got a plan? We was talking in Sunday school this morning about the Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. From eternity past to eternity future. But he's not only God in the past and God in the future, he's God in the present. Amen. Everything from Alpha to Omega, he already has a plan for. He already has everything worked out. He already knows your problems. He already knows the plans that he has for you. He already knows what's going on in your life and what you're going to face and what you're going to deal with. And he already has a plan for all of it.
Amen.
You just need to trust him. Amen. You just need to trust him. Man, when she got a hold of Joab, and Joab said, look, there's only one thing I'm here about. I'm only here to deal with sin. Amen? I'm only here to deal with sin. You deal with the sin problem, and everything else is going to work out. You know what? If we'll deal with the sin problem, if we'll deal with our sin problem, and don't act like you don't have one, I know I got one, and I know most of you pretty well. I don't know you long enough yet, Gary, but I know you got one somewhere. Hey, man. But all of us got one. We just need to be willing to deal with it. Amen. He said, you deal with the sin problem, and everything's going to be all right. And what did she say? Look at verses 20 and down to 22a. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or devour or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. Look, God only wants us to get the sin out of our life. Amen? God, he brings conviction, not to destroy us, but to get us to get the sin out of our life. Amen? God might bring problems into our life if we fail to deal with his conviction. Don't mean that he will, but he does sometimes. I'm not saying if you got sin in your life, God's going to take away. Man, there's people out here sinning all the time. It seems like nothing. Ain't that what Asaph said over there in Psalm 73? He said, I almost slipped. I almost fell because I got to looking at man instead of looking at God. I got looking at the sinners that are sinning and they're prospering and everything's going all right in their life. And I see the things that happened in my life and I just wonder, is it worth it? He said, but then I got to the house of God and I found out that it really is. Amen? Amen. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be like what God wants me to be. Amen. Amen. Joab said, we're only here for one thing. We're only here because of one man. And look at what the woman says. He didn't tell her to cut the head off. He just said, we want him. Look at what the woman says. I was praying about the message. What God, and this is exactly the part of this message that God gave me. Throw the head over the wall. Amen. I'm praying for a Mother's Day message, Lord. You know, throw the head over the wall. Amen. Joab said, we're only here for the one man. Give him and everything's going to be all right. The woman says, look at the last part of verse 21. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Amen. How far are you willing to go? Man, she wasn't about to try to wrestle him out the door. She wasn't worried about getting the whole body and getting the whole individual out. All they wanted was to know that the sin had been eliminated. The sin had been taken care of. The sin had been cut off. She said, don't worry about that. She said, you wait right here. His head will come over the wall in just a few moments. And she went and told the people in the city. She went and told her family and her friends, said, look, they're only here because of him. And I told them we would have his head over the wall in a few moments. And she throwed the head over the wall. Joab blew the trumpet and they left. You know what? We got to be willing to do what is necessary. We got to be willing to go far enough to take care of the sin that's holding us back. The sin that's putting us in peril. The sin that's causing our families to be destroyed. But how far are you willing to go? She wasn't taking no chances. Amen? Man, she could have maybe throwed him out the wall. He might have found a way to weasel his way back in. You know, that's what we do with sin sometimes. We shove it out the back door. But before we know it, it's done running back in the front door. How many of you have those besetting sins? Amen. You throw them out the back door, and tomorrow they done come back in the front door. Sometimes it don't take tomorrow. Amen. Sometimes you throw them out with this word, and the next word out of your mouth, they done snuck back in the front door. Amen. Woman wasn't taking any chances. They cut the head off. This is the message right here. How far are you willing to go? Church, look around you. We're losing our families. We're losing our churches. It used to be, I was talking to one of the brethren on the tour this week, and he said, you know what the average tenure of a pastor is today? I said, a few years ago, it was 6 years. He said, it's a year and a half. A year and a half. Look around you. Look at your church. Look at your family. What's causing it? He said, well, I'm doing the best I can. Are you? How far are you willing to go? To what extent are you willing to go to protect your family, your friends, your community, your church, to protect the witness of Christ? She wasn't taking any chances of anything going wrong. She wasn't taking any chances of that booger escaping before they got him thrown over to wash it. Just hold on. We'll throw his head over the wall in a few moments. And when they threw the head over the wall, you know what they knew? Once that head was cut off, he wasn't causing any more problems. Once that head was cut off, they were going to find some peace. Once that head was cut off, everything was going to be all right. How far are you willing to go? This is a mother in Israel that made this choice, that made this decision. We're going to cut the head off. When everybody else was cowering away, when everybody else was just dealing with it, when everybody else was just twiddling their thumbs, a wise woman who was a mother in Israel. This is a good Mother's Day message, isn't it? Was willing to go beyond. She was willing to do what other people would get all squeamish about. She didn't even hesitate. Let me think about this for a minute and I'll get back to you. She said, you just hold on. And we'll throw his head over the wall in just a moment. You know when they found peace in Abel? When they threw the head over the wall. You know when their problem ceased in Abel? When they threw the head over the wall. You know when the prayer was answered in Abel? When they threw the head over the wall. Amen. The invitation tonight, are you willing to throw the head over the wall? Is there something in your life? And just let me say this right now. This isn't for somebody that was here this morning that should have heard this. This message is for you. Is there something in your life that has been causing problems, and maybe you throw it out, and like I said, you throw it out one door, it runs right back in the next. You toss it out one window, it climbs in the next. You tried to bury it in the yard, and you looked, and before you know it, did it climb back down through the chimney? I don't know. It keeps coming back. You've tried to bury it. You've tried to hide it. You've tried to deal with it. Maybe it's time just to cut its head off. And only you know what it is. And only you know what the head is that's causing it to be a problem in your life. As we stand to our feet tonight, our altar's open.